Man, do I even like need to come up here and talk? I don't think so. Thank you girls so much for coming out, being courageous and sharing your stories and talking about how God has spoken to you this summer. So thank you girls. And Bella, you were wondering how I got you up on trail. Well, I lied to you. I told you that hiking was fun and it was going to be super easy and that we were going to train together, and we didn't do any of those things. So probably shouldn't lie to the youth, but if it went south, I would have been stuck with her. So glad it went the other way. So would you just bow your heads and pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this group of students here, Lord, for these girls who have just got up and so courageously shared how much that you mean to them, Lord. Pray for everyone here in this building that you just open their hearts and that you open their ears so that they can receive whatever it is that they need to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. So this summer has been a busy one. You heard from Bella. We had 3-week-long trips. 2 of them were back-to-back with only a couple days in between to sleep. And even then, we were still hanging out with each other. So it's been really busy. And for me, when I get really busy, I get a little stressed out. And I need a little bit of a stress reliever. And that is my 2 best friends, Ben and Jerry. Anybody know Ben and Jerry? Ben and Jerry, they are close to my heart. And my go-to flavor of Ben and Jerry's ice cream is the Tonight Show dough. It's got a cute little picture of Jimmy Fallon on the front, but just listen to the description of how good this is. It says, caramel and chocolate ice cream with chocolate cookie swirls, gobs of chocolate chip cookie dough, and peanut butter cookie dough. So it's got all the things in it, and it is delicious. And then earlier this year, I realized that you can order on Uber Eats a pint of Witt's frozen custard to be delivered to your door. And actually, it's a quart, not a pint. So that's even better than a pint. But I realized this when I had the flu and I was stuck at home. My roommate had the flu. We were just both there and we're like, we need ice cream and we can't leave because we're very contagious. And so we had Uber Eats deliver this ice cream to our house. And I probably took about 3 bites and then like fell into like a flu-ridden coma and just went back to sleep. And for weeks later, I would open my freezer and I would stare at this quart of ice cream and I would think, can I eat this? Is there flu germs all over it? Will I get the flu again? I'm not sure if it works that way, but the smart thing would have been just to like throw it away. Instead, I scraped off the first couple inches and I ate the rest of that ice cream. So, and then a couple months before summer, I was like, ugh, all that ice cream. I probably should start counting my calories, be healthy, all of that good stuff. So I like download this little app where you put in how many calories you're eating each day and it tells you how much you have left. But I still really, really needed my Tonight Show dough. So I would still buy a pint and then I would just be like, okay, I'm going to just take one bite of it, or maybe two bites, no more than two, never more than 2 bites of it. And it would fulfill my craving for the ice cream. But I don't recommend that because it is probably the hardest spiritual discipline to eat ice cream, taste how good it is, and then have to put it back away. So the diet didn't last long, and there are 3 pints of Tonight Show dough in my freezer right now. So good things come in pint sizes. Good things also come in small sizes, like children. Kind of an awkward transition, but just roll with it. Just roll with it, okay? So good things come in the size of middle schoolers. I got to go on Warren Willis camp, and you get to choose when you're an adult. You get to choose what grade you want to teach, like small groups to. So you can do high school, middle school, or elementary school. So I choose middle school. It's a lot easier to impress a middle schooler than it is to impress a high schooler. They think you're funny. They think you're hilarious and cool. And they themselves are just so honest and open. They're goofy because they don't care what they look like. They're not like trying to impress the opposite sex yet. So they don't care if they're cool. So one day we were doing our scripture lesson, which came from Galatians 5. Where am I? Galatians 5:13, it says, "My brothers and sisters, God chose you to be free, but don't use your freedom as an excuse to do what pleases your sinful selves. Instead, serve each other with love." So we were talking about this verse, and we were talking about what it means to have free will and to have freedom from sin through salvation. And most kids are just like nodding their head. They want to like get on to rest hour and go to sleep, or they like want to go play. And so they just nod their heads and agree with whatever you say. But then this one middle school boy, he's just like, no. And so he says, "That sounds like a loophole. You can do whatever you want and God will forgive you. Pretty sure that this is a loophole." And I'm like, well, no, let's talk about consequences of sin. You know, if you lie to your parents, you get in trouble, right? And he's like, no, pretty sure that God accidentally put a loophole in there where you can just go and ask for forgiveness later. And then this moved on to middle schoolers talking about if God needed a better lawyer to write his contracts for him. So there were no loopholes. So I can't blame him. I've had these same, sorry, I'm just adjusting. I've had these same thoughts before, and I'm pretty sure I've acted on them. The thought of you can just do whatever, live your life, and then ask for forgiveness later. As a youth director, the motto is, it's better to ask for forgiveness than for permission. It's like the motto of youth directors everywhere. However, one of my youth counselors is Chandler, who's on the board of trustees. Another one is Audra, who is a staff member. And the other one is my mom. Well, it makes you think twice before you do any game because you've got eyes watching you. So, but if we thought about that in the terms of our faith, if we thought, I'll just do whatever and then I'll ask for forgiveness later, or I'll just live my life and come back to God in a little bit when it's convenient for me because he's always there waiting, right? It would make Christianity sound a lot more manageable. It would make it sound a lot easier, and it would probably appeal to a broader range of people. However, I think this kind of thinking is why a lot of people fall away from the Christian faith, because they're tricked into something that they think is going to be really easy, and then they learn, spoiler alert, it's not easy to be a Christian, and it's not easy to follow God's commandments. In Matthew 8, it's literally titled, "The Cost of Following Jesus," a man comes up to him and is like, "Hey, I want to follow you." And he's like, "Well, cool, I'm homeless. And if you follow me, you're probably going to be homeless too." And then another man comes up to him and wants to follow him. And he's like, "Great, go sell all your possessions and give it all to the poor." And it says in the Bible that he literally walks away sad. Another man comes up to him and wants to follow him. But he says, "Hold on, I have to go bury my father who just passed away." And Jesus says, "Let the dead bury their own dead. Follow me now." So the cost of following Jesus is high, the price is high, but it comes with great reward. It requires massive sacrifice, it requires adapting your worldview on things, and it usually leads you not into riches and fame, but into unrecognized, unpopular, unending hard work. And if that's not enough for you, every day you're gonna fail. Every single morning you will wake up and you can try to be the best Christian you can be, but you will always be trying to be better. You're always going to be working at being a better Christian and following Jesus' commandments. So it comes with a high price, but there is great reward. In 1 John chapter 5, 1-5, it says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father, whoever has been born of him," no, sorry, "who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and that his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except for the one that believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Well, I can't wait for the day when following Jesus no longer feels like a burden, where we don't think about all of the things that we can't do, you know, all the things that we have or should do that we don't want to do. I can't wait for that not to feel like a burden. But John Piper, he says, "Our victory is that we treasure Christ in a way that we see the world as unsatisfying and that we receive and obey God's commandments with joy and hope. So this world is pretty hard. There is so much that we choose to satisfy us and satisfy our needs other than choosing God as our satisfaction. And this generation of young people, all of our generations, we need not just a little taste of Ben and Jerry's. We don't need just a little taste. We don't need a pint. We need a whole lot of Jesus. We need a lot of Jesus to cure what ails us. And not to just cure what ails us every day, but to overcome this world. If you turn on the news, if you get on Facebook, if you get on Instagram, if you get on Snapchat, you know what I mean. There's a lot out there that we are having to overcome every day. So we need to have bigger faith to face these things, to overcome these things, to fix them, and to be overcomers of this world like it promises us in 1 John. In my personal life, I don't want to just have enough Jesus to cure today's ailments. I don't want just enough. I want all of it. I want all of the love. I want all of the grace. I need all of the forgiveness. And so I want oceans of it, not just a pint size, but I want oceans of this. Our youth, they need oceans of grace. They need oceans of love from the people in these pews, from their parents, from their youth director, from their pastor, from their counselors. And so my prayer is that, you know, knowing that you can receive all of these things, knowing that when Jesus died on the cross, that the veil was torn apart, that heaven opened, and we have all of those resources, all of the resources, the Spirit came down, and we have all of those things that we need to overcome all of those things of this world. So I want to be an overcomer of the world, and I want to be able to, like it says, to receive God's commandments with joy and with hope, and I hope that you can too. If you'll pray with me. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for sending your Son, Lord, for making it possible that we can overcome all of the challenges that we face, that we can overcome all of the obstacles, Lord, and that we can just receive all of the grace, Lord, oceans of grace and oceans of love from you, Lord. Pray for everyone in this room that they be empowered and that they be boldened to face and fix and overcome this world, Lord, that you empower the youth and young adults to be a generation that brings light, shines light onto you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.